Puta, what? Puna, again, is to be said. Brahma vidam, of persons well versed in transcendental science. Brahma vidya. Bhavardrisam, like your good self. Tata, therefore, vato, of the brahmachari. Asya, of this Vamanadeva. Dadami, I shall give. Avanchitam, whatever he wants. Translation. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Please repeat. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving all of his possessions in charity, he becomes adored all over the world. Aside from this, if a benevolent and merciful person exhibits his pride in becoming poverty-stricken by giving his possessions in charity for good causes, his poverty is a welcome and auspicious sign of a great personality. Bali Maharaj decided that even though he would become poverty-stricken by giving everything to Vamanadeva, this is what he would prefer. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Maritam Yinatasmai Sri Guru Viramaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayati Agirim Yakri Patamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinitarima Vancha Kalpatirubhyascha Kripasindabhahivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's do that one more time and see if I can hear all the kids. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a very interesting style presented in this verse here, Bali Maharaj is speaking. He's actually speaking in two manners in one verse. The first sentence, he's speaking to Vamanadeva directly. Here's what I'm going to do to you. Here's what I'm going to offer to you. And in the second sentence, he's confirming to those in the audience, particularly we can imagine Sukracharya and others of that manner, that mind, and I must do it. So I'm going to give this to you, and then confirming to others, I'm going to give it to him. Because we see he uses two different... God, I wish I knew all my English stuff that Mrs. Thompson taught me, but pronouns or derivative or whatever. I'm sure Nagaraj and Babru know all this. But in one sense, he's speaking outwardly, and the other one, he's confirming. So this is actually how one takes a vow. One confirms to the person, I'm going to do this for you. And then one confirms in front of others, this is what I'll do. This is a very important thing. This is why when we take our initiation, when we have any type of samskara, it's done before the fire, before the shalagram, before the cows, before the brahmanas, before the Vaishnavas. Not always the same, but hopefully in our case. Because by making a vow, by making a statement, I'm going to do this to someone, that's very nice. But sometimes that doesn't get followed through. Those of us that have had the opportunity to be in management have greatly experienced numerous pledges come in that sometimes they're a little difficult to collect on. So in this case, he then turns to those in the audience and says, this is what I will do. Now, how can you back out of something when you've confirmed it in front of so many people? This is the strength that one gets by taking their vrata, taking their vow, accepting their initiation, whatever the case is, in front of all these different personalities and recognizing their presence. Right? Now, it's lunchtime over at the school, and Hari says, okay, I'm going to give my peanut butter and jelly sandwich to Narottam. Nice jelly, I'm going to keep it. But Narottam says, no. So many other of the kids heard, you have to do it. So Hari's going to give up a sandwich now. So whenever we make a vow, having someone in earshot to confirm that gives us the strength to keep that vow. Because what happens if we go back on it, then our good name is ruined. So this is the first thing I noticed when I looked at this verse. He's speaking in two different presences. You know, like that. So we're discussing in this particular pastime, and in particular these handful of verses, the concept of charity. Now, charity actually has two shades to it, if you will, two colors, two moods, two flavors, two rasas. One is, I own this, it's mine, now let me be kind and share it. And the other one is, I am simply the steward of this, it's my duty to give this and share it. Both of these carry a completely different concept of consciousness. One shows the concept of someone who's very attached, who thinks themselves the doer, the controller, the owner, the possessor. And the other shows one who has a mood of humility, who is detached from their objects of what they have surrounded themselves with, and understands that these aren't mine, these have been given to me, these are God-given gifts, and they're to be engaged in the service of the Lord and others like that. So it's very, very important that we understand this difference, because if we don't understand this basic difference, we will not be able to move forward in the proper mood of giving and charity. And as we'll see from some of the things I'm going to mention here, we must give in charity. It's mandatory. Can't get by without it in some form or another. Whether it's all of your wealth or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you have to give in charity. This is the nature of living in this world, to give to others. So, a little review here. Who remembers what verses from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter and verses, deal with this subject of charity? I don't think any of the kids will. No. Anybody have a good memory? 17th chapter, verses... We just read it in yesterday's purport. Verses 20, 21, and 23. So I think it's nice to review these, since this is what we're discussing and we should understand it. Verse 20 says, the charity given out of duty without expectation of return, touch on this point later in the class, at the proper time and place to a worthy person is considered to be in the mode of goodness. How much more worthy of a person could Balimarish find than Vamana did? Then we see here, but charity performed with an expectation of some return. Okay, I'm giving you my peanut butter sandwich, but I want your cookies tomorrow. Charity performed with the expectation of some return or with the desire for fruit of result. My dear Lord Krishna, I'm giving you this, but I expect that you're going to give me something back because, you know, after all, I do need this, that, and the other. Or in a grudging mood, all right, go ahead and take it, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. And charity performed in an impure place, at an impure time, to an unworthy person, or without proper attention and respect, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So, these are the different mindsets that Bhagavad Gita, which is, after all, our foundational shastra, our basic instruction on our life as devotees, on our life as human beings, but at least as devotees, this is the basic understanding of how to determine the mood, the intent, and the consciousness with which we give our charity. So this example of Balimaraj is, of course, I mean, way beyond goodness, but in that category, certainly in the mode of goodness. He's giving it at a clean time, at a jugga site. What more purified place could there be? He's giving it at the proper time, all the constellations and the time of day and like that, to the proper person, to a poor Brahmin beggar, a little Brahmin dwarf, you know, coming in, oh, I just need some, all right, please, you take like that. This is the duty of the kings, right? And what's the result? It mentions pious result, very pious result. There is, and there shouldn't be any room in this type of giving, as described in that verse 20, for any type of pride. Not for a mood of possessiveness, you know, well, this is mine, but I'm very detached, I'm such a great tapasvi, I'm going to give it to you. And be sure you put my name up on that plaque there. You know, I'd like a doorway named in my honor. You see it all over the campus at the university, you've got these benches, everybody's got their name on them like that, you know, like that. So this may be done by the person receiving as a recognition, that's one thing. But when giving, it's not given so that that happens. Right? So that's the mood. You see a lot of times anonymous donations. This is a nice mood also, at any rate. So, but we do see in this explanation Prabhupada gives of this verse that Bali Maharaj does become proud. And, but what does he become proud? Proud that I have become poverty stricken because I have surrendered everything to the Lord. This is kind of nice. Because this type of pride carries with it the prerequisite of having engaged in surrendered devotional service. We should be a little proud that I'm surrendering to Krishna. Not arrogantly proud, but satisfactorily proud. Filled with some satisfaction of having done this service, of having given ourselves, given our wealth to Krishna, to the Guru, to the Vaishnavas like that. This is an important thing. He's proclaiming, I'm broke. I mean, how many of us have been in that? Oh, broke, got no money, you know? And yet it's considered wonderful. Vamanadeva didn't just take his bank account. Vamanadeva took everything Bali had. We know the story. One step, the entire upper portion of the universe he controlled. The other step, the entire lower portion of the universe he controlled. What am I going to do? Okay, take my head. When you offer your head to someone, that's a complete surrender. This is why we bow down. This is why we put our head at the lotus feet of the Guru, at the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? In the field of battle, when the enemy surrenders totally, they put their head. Sometimes it's taken off. So this is the mood that pleases Krishna. This mood of full surrender. And we become satisfied by knowing that we've pleased Krishna in that way. But to get to that platform takes a little bit of development. It doesn't just happen overnight. It doesn't just automatically, okay, I'm going to surrender. Boom. Well, I mean, it can, and we do read that description, but generally speaking, for those of us suffering in the conditioned circumstances of life, it requires a little bit of training. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very nice example of this. He was in Orissa with some disciples. They were doing Puri Parikrama, going to the different places. And as they were leaving one temple, the beggars, you know how they line up at the temple, they were asking some of the household men, please give alms. Now, I thought when I first read this, this is very smart. You know, the beggars knew, there's no point in asking these sannyasis, they got nothing. You know, what am I going to get from the sannyasis? So they asked the householder men, you know, please, you householder men to give. After all, they're just beggars in the street, what are you going to give to them for? Bhaktisiddhanta sat down, had everyone sit in, and he gave a lecture. And in this lecture, he mentioned that the mentality should not be that, oh, I will not give to these beggars because this is fruitive activity and I'm not interested in fruitive activity. He said, by having that mentality, one develops a hard heart and one becomes greedy and as a result will not be able to give to Krishna. He says, if one is looking in that way, this is mine, I've earned it, I can't give to you, it's a fruitive thing, then the heart becomes hard. He said, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati continued, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a grihastha, he would regularly give in charity to the poor. This was one of his activities as a householder. You know, there's that famous thing, can anybody that's hungry, please come in and eat? I think I've told this story before. When I was growing up as a brahmachari, we had two couples that lived just two doors down from us, Godandini Savitri and Prana and, I forget her name. At any rate, Savitri was an excellent cook. And, you know, we were just brahmacharis, and we were taking pretty good care of her. Anyway, so she had heard this, and she would do that at lunchtime. She would step outside the back door. Didn't take the brahmacharis long to catch on to that. Neither did it take her husband long to have her go step outside the front door so there'd be some prasadam left for him. But at any rate, this is the purpose of the household, is to give in charity like that. So Bhaktisiddhanta concluded by saying, these persons are also in the family of Krishna and should be taken care of. Here again, this goes back to the point that the grihastha has this great burden to support the other three quarters of society. And the vaishya has this responsibility to support the other three quarters. So this is our, you know, obligation. So, you know, I was thinking also how these rules, these guidelines are even seen in our Sankirtan activities as well. If we go out to distribute books, to distribute prasadam, whatever, and we have a very proud, arrogant mood, people aren't going to be touched, people aren't going to take, people aren't going to be interested to speak with us. But we have to give the Lord's mercy in humility, in a humble state of mind. Lochan Das Thakur describes very, very wonderfully and beautifully in his song, Akrodha Paramahansa, Paramananda, Akrodha Paramananda. Akrodha means anger. Akrodha means no anger. This wonderful, blissful personality, Lord Nityananda, has no anger. So, Lokshan goes on to tell how he has no anger, he has no false pride. Lord Nityananda takes a straw in his teeth and he goes to the conditioned souls and he begs, please, please take up the name of Lord Chaitanya. Please take up this holy name. Please accept the mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He says like that. And then what does he do? If it's not enough that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, has taken a straw and begged, then he rolls in the ground at the feet of these persons like a golden mountain, begging them to please take up this holy name. This is how you give charity. So he's giving that holy name, but he's not just saying, okay, here it is, come take it if you want it. No, please take it. Oh, I beg you, please take it. I'm rolling in the ground. Please take this holy name. This is the way that he's distributing his charity. Bali Maharaj has the same kind of attachment as being described there in his giving, right? So we're back to Bali Maharaj's pride, you know. It's a little different, you know. It's, as Prabhupada says here, Bali Maharaj's statement, to paraphrase it, if I'm broke, I lost it all, isn't like, you know, I'm broke, I lost it all in Vegas. When I used to travel the show circuit and do the trade shows in Vegas, the people I would associate with, they'd come to the show the next morning, oh man, what a night. Oh, well, what's wrong? You didn't sleep well? No, what sleep? I didn't sleep at all. I was at the tables all night long. I lost everything. $3,000 or $4,000. You know, what kind of mercy do you feel? Oh, gee, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's really too bad. Well, you idiot. You know? I mean, Vegas has, like, you know, you got all of them there. You've got the prostitution, you've got the gambling, and you've got the intoxication all right there, you know. So no one has any empathy for someone that comes in and says, oh man, I spent it all on prostitutes, lost it all on the table, and drank myself into debt. Nobody feels any compassion for that. Well, yeah, what do you expect? You sinful dope, you know. So yet we find that persons that are claiming their poverty-strickenness and proudly wearing their broke situation for having surrendered everything to Krishna are glorified. They're considered auspicious. You know, anybody that has a pure-hearted desire wants to be like Bali Maharaj, wants to have that. You know, I'm broke and Krishna has everything and I'm so happy. So, you know, I couldn't help, as I was putting this together, but bring this conclusion that this means that we cannot, each and every one of us, but give tithing to help support Radha Shyam Sangha. We have to. How can we read this chapter? How can we hear these pastimes and not every one of us be giving daily something to support the worship of Radha Shyam Sangha? We must. We have to. How can we avoid it? All the examples are laid out right there. Oh, well, you know, I'll just be broke if I do that. Wonderful. But of course we won't be broke because Krishna doesn't let his devotees suffer like that. We don't see that he hung Bali Maharaj out to dry. All right, I got everything, now beat it. No. He made Bali Maharaj more glorious because of Bali Maharaj's surrender. And what happens to one that Krishna gives his mercy to? They become very satisfied and all their needs are taken care of. Now, throughout this week, we've been hearing about all these great personalities, Sesha Prabhu and Naveen Shyam, listing all these great Vedic personalities that surrendered. But I was listening, and there's one person that we forgot. And this person happens to be one of my very favorites and really strengthens this point being made with Bali Maharaj here. And that's Karna, or Radeya. He's known by both names. Actually, he was born with the name Karna, and we'll get into that in a minute. But his preferred name that he liked more was Radeya, because it meant the son of Radha. And he wanted to glorify his mother. So he accepted the name Radheya, that I am the son of Radha. Now, it's a very interesting story about him, because we have to kind of go back a bit here. Kunti, you know, very saintly personality. In her youth, she was given this mantra. And with this mantra, she could call it, she'd served Durvasa Muni, had surrendered very nicely to Durvasa Muni. He had come to the home and the father engaged you, please take care of the meals and like that. You know, someone comes to your home and your mother and father say, okay, take some water to them, take in their prasadam from this, anything like that. So you do some service. So Durvasa Muni became very, very happy. He gave her one mantra. By this mantra, you can call any of the demigods. Now, if I give any of you, for instance, Narottam, I pick on Narottam because I like Narottam so much. Suppose your father gives you a tool. He's got a brand new tool and he says, okay, Narottam, don't use this. Just set it there and don't touch it. Right? Krishangi, if your mother gives you a book, and she says, I'll put this book on your desk and don't ever open it and read it. What are you going to do? You're going to open it and read it. And Narottam's going to play with that tool. It's just the nature. You're given something told not to use it. So she received this mantra and she thought, well, let me try it. So it was the bright middle of the day. So the sun was shining. So, all right, I'll call the sun god. So she chanted the mantra and the sun god appeared in her room. Now, just a little point of etiquette here. If a young single girl has a man in her bedroom, this can only mean one thing. This is why parents don't like this to happen. You know, boys and girls in the room together like that, you know. Every parent's a little concerned like this. So what happens? So the sun god says, all right, well, you called me, here I am. Oh, no, I was playing here. Just, you know, call. No, you called me now, so, you know. But how can I have a child? I'm not married. Well, don't worry, because the child will be born from your ear. Therefore, you'll remain pure. So, this was the birth of Karna. Karna means born from the ear. Now, the interesting thing is that, you know, there was a lot of stigma to a single girl with no association with a man bearing a child. So, the child was put into a wooden box and set into the river. Down the river away, there was this chariot driver who worked for the kingdom. His name was Atirata. And Atirata found this box and he heard these cries of the baby. So he went out and he found it and he opened. Oh, wonderful. My wife and I were desiring to have a child. They had been unable for some reason to have a child. So he brought home to his wife, whose name was, what was the wife's name? Huh? Radha. Brought home to Radha. Look. Beautiful child. She took the child. She's so happy. So they raised the child. And what was the nature? To train the child in the family business. What was the family business? Chariot driver. Sudaputra. He was the son of a chariot driver. So, interesting thing though. One day, Radeya went to his mother. He said, Mother, I can't understand something. I am old enough now to take up the reins of the chariot like my father. And I go to take up these reins of the chariot and I put them into my hands and I just drop them and feel no interest. But the bow and the arrow, when I put the bow and arrow into my hands, I become so enlivened. I can't understand this, Mother. Why is this happening? So at this point, Radheya, who was kept, Aradha, who has kept the secret for many, many years, takes her son to her chest and hugs him. And with tears in her eyes, she begins to tell the story of how he was found and how she is not actually his mother. And now I know you're older and you're going to leave me, so please go, but kindly don't forget me. And Radheya said, forget you? You are my only mother. How could I ever forget you? What ungrateful person would forget the very mother that has raised them and nursed them and fed them? So in this way, he swore his allegiance. This is why he preferred to be called Radheya, because it showed his allegiance, his commitment to his mother. So anyway, he became, throughout his life, he became very, very famous for giving and charity. He had this enamorment that he couldn't understand with the sun god. How not to understand it? Who was his father? The sun god. So he had this enamorment with the sun god. And so every day at the zenith of the sun, he would do some meditation in the hot sun, taking some vow and silent meditation. And then at the end of that meditation, whoever came to him, whatever they asked for, he would give. Anybody, whatever they asked. So he became very famous for his charity, that never will he turn you down. You need something? Go see Radheya. If you go at that time, he will give you. You will not go away unsatisfied. So in this way, he had this desire. Now, of course, he was a chariot driver. No kingdom, no wealth, you know. This is a whole long story here. We're going to kind of condense it a bit, because otherwise we'll be here telling Mahabharata stories till 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the kids will miss school, because you won't want to leave, will you? Oh, you will. No. All right. So at any rate, what happens is that as the battle of Kurukshetra is beginning to make its appearance and the sides are being set up, Radheya is not on the side of the Pandavas. So he has a dream one night. And in this dream, the sun god appears to him. And the sun god says, tomorrow when you perform your vow, and at the end of it, when you give in charity, Indra is going to come. And he is going to ask you for your kundala and kavacha, thank you, your armor and your earrings. Now, these aren't things that he put on each morning. These were there when he was born. They were part of his body, just like he got fingernails and hair. He had kundala and kavacha. So the sun god said, don't give to him, because if you give to him, it will be your ruination. Sound familiar? Sukacharya said to Bali, don't give to that Brahmin. If you give to him, he's going to take everything and it'll be your ruin. What did Radheya say? He said, I can't not do that. I must give. My name is built upon the fact that I always keep my word. Everyone knows that if you ask anything from me, I will give it. I cannot follow your instruction. But by the way, I have a question for you. I see that you're a demigod. Why am I so inclined to worship you? Surya said, can't talk about it. It's prohibited. Sorry. Can't say. Left from the dream. So the next day, Radheya woke. He went and he performed his noon activity. And sure enough, this poor beggar came to him. Radheya was waiting for him. The beggar came and said, oh, my dear sir, you're such a noble man, you're so well known for you. I just have one thing to ask of you. They said, yes, I give. What is it you desire? Your kavacha and your kundava. Radheya said, I know you're Indra. And I know you've come to cheat me. But I will do this because it is the most religious thing that I keep my word. I promised you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm going to give it to you. It is the most important thing that I keep my word. I am known for never going back on my word. So I am going to give to you. Indra was so amazed. He said, I'm just this is incredible. I expected some kind of argument or something. He said, I have to give you something. Let me give you my vraja, my shakti weapon. It is the strongest of weapons that you can have. Rade, I said, what, do I look like a businessman? If I take something from you, it ruins everything. I can't take something for giving you something. He said, but I will tell you this. You know you cheated me. I know you cheated me, and everyone else will know you cheated me. So your name will be ruined. So I will take your weapon, because then you will have given me something. So, oh, I took this, but I gave him that. So then your name won't be ruined. So he got the shakti weapon. And Ender said, oh, by the way, you can only use it once. And of course, that's a whole nother story of the Mahabharata. We'd be here till 6 o'clock with that one. So at any rate, in this way, he said, because of your keeping your vow, your name will be worshipped. All truthfulness will be associated with your name. I'm glad I got to finish before your kids left. Hare Krishna. So in this way, you know, this very important point is made, that you can't take anything in return and expect that it constitutes that I've given. Right? It's not actually determined to be the mood of a true giver of charity. Bali Maharaj was not expecting, okay, I'm going to give you Vamana Dev, but hey, what about me? No, okay, here's the upper half of the universe, there's the lower half. Okay, here, take my head too, take my entire self. He didn't ask, okay, well, I'll give you this and this, but what about, you know, how am I going to feed myself? What about Sukracharya? What about all my family? Here, take everything, I surrender. So, you know, if we have that other mood, it loses the grace of the gift. It loses the grace of the gift, you know? So, in this way, you know, we have to be very aware of what we're doing in regards to charity. We have to give charity, especially 99.9% of us sitting in this room are grihasthas. It's our duty to give in charity. So we have to give it in the proper mood, and we have to give it to the proper person at the proper time and place in the proper way, according to that circumstance. So if we want to be, Manasvina, Munisiphon, if we want to be Karunika, merciful, with Brahmavidya, transcendental knowledge, that will allow us to become Sobhanam, auspicious, what do we have to do? Kama Upanayana. We have to satisfy Krishna by offering everything to him, our service, our lives, and then in that way, we'll feel very satisfied. So that's what I kind of understood from reading this verse here. Anybody has anything else they'd like to add or correct or anything? Questions, whatever? What are you doing? Running the money. Trivikram Prabhu, yes. You can always count on Trivikram for a question.
Hare Krishna. Interesting. Karna, kind of controversial figure, really, but you cannot feel but help loving him, really, because of his charitable disposition. Sometimes I wonder, well, but, you know, he was the son of Kunti, but yet he took to the other side. And I couldn't really find an answer, but in another Puran, somebody was asking Bhishma. In fact, he was speaking to Bhishma, and Bhishma said, the reason for your animosity towards the Pandavas is that because you're... The union between Surya and Kunti were improper. See, because that was improper, Karna had that kind of that bitterness towards the Pandavas.
You know? The life of Karna is very, very complex and very lengthy. And I was just extracting that one point to make this connection with here. We can learn a lot from his life, his example, his activities. That was the one point I was working on.
Yeah. I have a quick question now. We know this big earthquake in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
I say we know about this earthquake in Haiti. Mm. You know, we're supposed to give charity in, you know, somewhere or the other, you were talking about that. Srila Prabhupada also spoke about charity. How can the devotees help in a situation like that? I mean, in what form of charity can they give?
Well, like Adikartha Prabhu mentioned yesterday, arranging somehow for our society to do some prasadam distribution there, such as when the tsunami hit Sri Lanka and Arjuna Maharaj and other devotees went there and distributed prasadam. Parashuram Prabhu has a wonderful prasadam program going on in Northern Europe for different situations and, you know, disturbances that go on. He goes and distributes prasadam there. Sometimes we've seen here in the States when there's some kind of an emergency in a city or something, devotees will go and work with the Red Cross to distribute prasadam like that. So these are the ways that we can best benefit, you know, if we have some means to financially help with something like that, but then how to make sure it gets used to the best ability in a situation like this. Foodstuffs are definitely needed, so distribution of prasadam is a wonderful way to do that. That's my two cents, but nobody, you know, put me on any boards to organize any kind of, you know, relief programs. So, any of the ladies? Anything else? All right, Prabhu, thank you very much. Beg your mercy and your blessings. Hare Krishna.